Welcome to The Deep Dive, powered by the Pitcot Podcast. We are here to bring you straight to the knowledge, giving you a shortcut to being truly well-informed. Today, we're getting into something really important, a deep dive into managing high cholesterol naturally. And we're drawing all of our actionable insights directly from Pitcot's best-selling ebooks.
Yeah, and our mission here is, you know, pretty crystal clear. We want to cut through all that confusing health noise and really just distill the practical habits.
The things that actually work.
The things that genuinely shift your heart health profile.
Mm-hmm.
We're not looking for like quick fixes or anything restrictive. It's all about steady, smart choices.
Right. Starting with what's on your plate.
And how you move your body. It's all about sustainable action, really.
And since this whole deep dive is built from those Pitcot ebooks, which are, I mean, they're like a real world guide to this stuff, we want to make sure you have full access.
Absolutely.
So if you want the complete roadmap that we're talking about today, you should visit www.pitcot.com/booksbooks to download those guides.
It's really worth it. And before we unpack all this material, we just want to ask that you subscribe to our channel if you haven't.
And definitely activate that notification bell.
Exactly. So you don't miss our new uploads. We're always breaking down new, complex source material, and you'll want to know when the next analysis drops.
Okay, let's get into it. The primary target when we talk about high cholesterol is LDL, the low-density lipoprotein.
Often called the bad guy.
Right, the bad guy. But let's get a bit more specific. What we're really targeting is how saturated fat impacts that LDL number. Pitcot is really focused on this initial dietary audit, and it starts with red meat.
Yeah, that's a big one. The problem with red meat, you know, your steak, lamb chops, even some pork, is just its high concentration of saturated fat.
So what does that fat actually do in the body?
Well, that specific type of fat changes how your body handles cholesterol. Think of it like this. Saturated fats can make the LDL receptors in your liver less active.
And those are the cleanup crew.
They're the cleanup crew.
Exactly.
They're responsible for pulling LDL out of your bloodstream. So less cleanup means more of that LDL is just hanging around.
Leading to plaque in the arteries.
That's the risk. It leads to those deposits that contribute to plaque.
So we're not just saying, you know, red meat is bad. Okay. We're explaining the mechanism. The logical step then is substitution.
It's a strategic trade-off. You don't eliminate protein. You just switch to leaner options. Skinless chicken, turkey. But the real heart heroes are the cold water fish.
Like salmon and mackerel.
Salmon, mackerel, sardines, yep. They're not just low in saturated fat, they actually bring omega-3 fatty acids to the table. And those actively support heart health.
How so?
They help manage triglycerides and reduce inflammation. Look, if you want something plant-forward, the source is big on exploring beans, lentils, tofu. A good chickpea curry gives you massive satisfaction, plus fiber and lean protein.
That brings up a good question. What's the difference between, say, conventional beef and grass-fed beef? Does that matter here?
That's a great question. It adds some important depth. So while both have saturated fat, the sources do note that grass-fed beef often has a better ratio of omega-3s to omega-6s.
It's so slightly better for you.
Potentially, yeah. And maybe a better profile of something called CLA. But the key thing is the overall saturated fat content is still high enough that Pitcot advises moderation.
So it's still about frequency and portion size.
Exactly. Even with the higher quality cuts, the main goal is still leaning toward those leaner alternatives when you're targeting cholesterol.
Okay. So beyond meat, we have to look at the other major players. The comfort foods,
yeah.
Butter, full fat cheese, those creamy sauces.
Oh, they are absolutely the stealth sources. They can sabotage mm-hmm. your best efforts without you even realizing it.
They're just so dense in saturated fat.
Incredibly dense. But the good news is the fix is pretty easy. It's all about strategic swaps. You move to skim or 1% milk. You use healthier spreads. You try reduced fat cheese.
And you probably won't even miss it that much.
You won't miss much at all. It's not about depriving yourself. It's just about upgrading the foundation of your diet.
And this is crucial. The way you cook can either make the problem worse or, you know, help solve it. Grill, don't fry.
Yes. Frying is a game changer in the wrong direction. It dramatically increases the fat content because food acts like a sponge for that cooking oil.
And it's usually the wrong kind of oil, too.
Often, yes. Grilling, baking, roasting, steaming.
Yeah.
These are so much better because they use the food's own moisture or just a tiny bit of added fat.
So how do you get the flavor?
Herbs, spices, lemon zest, vinegars. You add complexity and taste that, frankly, heavy fats just end up masking anyway.
So we've audited the kitchen. But even with the right ingredients, we need to talk about actively building up our defenses, and that means fiber.
Soluble fiber is the unsung hero, for sure. And we need to understand the mechanism here, because it's brilliant.
Okay, break it down.
So, soluble fiber, from things like oats and apples, it forms this sort of gel in your digestive tract. And this gel does something amazing. It traps cholesterol molecules and bile acids.
And bile acids are made from cholesterol, right?
Precisely. They're made in the liver. When the fiber traps them, they get carried right out of your system.
Which means the liver has to go find more cholesterol to make new ones.
Exactly. So it pulls cholesterol out of the bloodstream to synthesize new bile. It's this natural internal recycling process that works completely in your favor.
Wow.
That's why the sources are so adamant about making fiber a daily habit. Start your morning with oat cereal or muesli. You're kicking that process off right away.
And then things like lentils, broccoli, oranges throughout the day.
Yep, keep it coming.
Okay, while we're on structure, let's go back to fats for a second. Because not all fats are bad. Some are actually fantastic for your heart.
We need to embrace them. The monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fats, these are the ones that help stabilize your cholesterol profile.
So we're talking about things like avocado.
Avocado, the crunch of walnuts, the density of chia seeds. These are fantastic sources. Throwing a handful of walnuts on a salad or using avocado oil for your dressing. Simple, powerful substitutions.
This is where we hit a point of confusion for a lot of people. Coconut oil. It gets promoted as the superfood, right? Mm. But Pitcott says to ditch palm and coconut oils if you're serious about cholesterol. How do we square that?
This is such an important question. Mm-hmm. The distinction is in the type of saturated fat. Coconut oil is about 90% saturated fat.
Wow, that's high.
It's very high. Its main fat, lauric acid, does raise HDL, the good cholesterol. But, and this is the key, it also significantly raises LDL.
The bad guy.
The bad guy. So for someone trying to manage cholesterol, that net effect of a huge LDL increase is usually a bad trade. The recommendation is all about prioritizing LDL reduction. That's the main driver of risk.
That clarity is exactly what's needed. So what are the friendly oils then, the ones that give flavor without that LDL hit?
The sources strongly recommend extra virgin olive oil, canola oil, or avocado oil. EVOO especially is praised. It's mostly monounsaturated fat, which is great for your art profile.
Best for dressings and drizzling.
Perfect for cold uses, yeah. It can turn basic food into magic. Avocado and canola are good for slightly higher heat cooking.
Okay, so we've covered diet pretty thoroughly. Let's move beyond the plate. Movement is the other half of this equation.
It's the strategic complement to diet, absolutely. And it's not just about losing weight.
Right.
The goal isn't to become some kind of, you know, gym rat. It's about consistency. Aim for about 30 minutes of moderate activity, maybe 5 days a week.
And there's a fascinating dual benefit here. How does exercise actually boost the good cholesterol, HDL, while lowering the bad?
It works on a couple of levels. First, it increases the activity of an enzyme that helps break down triglycerides, another unhealthy fat.
Okay.
But more importantly for cholesterol, movement enhances what we call reverse cholesterol transport. It's HDL's job. HDL's job is to vacuum up excess cholesterol from your artery walls and carry it back to the liver to be disposed of.
So exercise makes the vacuum cleaner better.
It makes the vacuum cleaner more efficient. Consistent aerobic exercise, even just brisk walking, enhances those HDL particles. You're literally optimizing your body's internal cleaning service.
And this doesn't mean you have to run a marathon.
No, not at all. It just requires consistency. Take the stairs. Park farther away. If you have a desk job, set an alarm to walk around for a few minutes every hour. It all adds up.
That discipline leads us right into outsmarting hidden traps, especially when eating out.
Oh, that's a big one. A restaurant meal can hide an unbelievable amount of fat and sodium.
Pitcott points out that even a healthy grilled chicken salad can be a cholesterol bomb.
If it's drowning in a creamy dressing or loaded with cheese and croutons, absolutely. You have to become a strategist when you order.
What does that look like?
Default to grilled, baked, or steamed over fried. Always. Ask for dressings and sauces on the side so you control how much you use.
And the portion sizes.
The portion sizes could feed a small army. So be mindful. Maybe split an entree. Or ask for half to be boxed up before you even start eating.
Okay, and speaking of hidden traps, tip number 8 is becoming a label detective at the grocery store.
Yes. You cannot trust the low-fat sticker on the front of the box. That's just marketing.
The real truth is on the back.
On the nutrition panel, you need to scan for total fat, saturated fat, and cholesterol. And here's a really key detail to look for. the words hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated oils.
Why are those so bad? What does hydrogenation even do?
That's the scientific link to trans fats. The process adds hydrogen to liquid vegetable oil to make it solid and shell stable. But in doing so, it creates artificial trans fats.
And those are double trouble.
Double trouble. They boost your LDL, the bad stuff, and at the same time, they actively lower your HDL, the good cleansing stuff. They are just bad news in any amount.
So the winning strategy is looking for foods high in natural fiber and low in added sugar and those manufactured fats.
That's it.
The knowledge to make these choices is so important, which is why accessible, well-researched info matters so much. If you want more resources on this, you can always visit www.pitcott.com.
Right. And moving into our final habits, we have to talk about moderation, specifically with alcohol. Don't overdo the booze.
So while red wine gets some good press for antioxidants, the key word is moderation.
A very key word. Pitcott defines this strictly. A max of one drink a day for women, two for men. Anything more puts a real strain on your liver.
And it can raise your triglycerides, right?
Significantly. Which is another major risk factor for heart disease.
So what if you don't drink at all?
You're not missing out. You can get those same beneficial antioxidants, the polyphenols, from things like dark grape juice, and you avoid the liver strain and the hangover.
Okay, finally, the 10th tip. It's a pragmatic one. Take the meds if you need them.
We have to acknowledge that sometimes, you know, genetics or other factors mean lifestyle changes alone aren't enough to hit your cholesterol goals. Mm. So if your doctor prescribes a statin or something else, compliance is everything. You take it as directed. No skipping, no guesswork.
And the really critical takeaway from Pitcott's guidance is that medication works best with a partner.
As a strategic partner. Eating clean, moving more. All of that creates the perfect environment for the medication to be fully effective.
It's not a replacement for a healthy lifestyle.
Not at all. It's a complement. It accelerates the benefits of all the good work you're already doing.
So when you put it all together, what does this really mean for you, the listener? It means lowering your cholesterol naturally is completely doable.
It is. But it takes awareness and consistency. It's not about being perfect every single day.
It's about making a better choice. One meal, one step at a time.
Cut back on those high saturated fats. Empower your body with soluble fiber. Move to boost that cleansing HDL and become that label detective.
Your habits are, as the source says, your superpower.
They truly are. We'd encourage you to just look at these 10 shifts we've talked about and think, which one can you start with? Right now, today.
Make your heart thank you with every single beat.
Mm-hmm.
And to access all the incredible ebook resources that form the backbone of this deep dive, remember to visit www.pitcott.com.
And please, if you found this helpful, subscribe to our channel and activate that notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads.
Also, please press the like button if you love our show.
Yeah, it really helps in the recommendation algorithm so other people can find this information too.
Thank you for listening to the Pitcott podcast. I will leave a link in the description below. Thank you for being there with us.